You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, folks. It's our job to give you interesting bits in world sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared just for you in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. We also have a little bit of a taste test we're going to do as well, bringing it back.
That's right.
Bringing back the old taste test. So a lot coming your way on this week's episode. Thank you guys for joining us on another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Before we get into all of the news, Mikey, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah. So I guess I should start off by saying that this upcoming Friday is my brother's birthday.
Yeah, Bruno, is, yeah, that's right.
So
we've been. Oh, and I hit the wrong thing. That was just for Bruno. But well, yeah, it's your brother's birthday.
It's his birthday.
I remember
when
this is your song.
Michael was a bitch. Now he's still a bitch. Michael's a bitch. Mike was a bitch. He is a bitch. Yeah, you know it. Woo!
Yeah, yep. There you go. Bruno came up with that song just for you on the spot.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty.
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. So hopefully, JB, if you're listening or you're watching on your birthday, happy birthday.
This feels so good.
There you go. I don't know about that. He's turning the big 3-0.
Yeah, it feels good to be 30.
Does it?
Sure. I don't know. What's the problem?
That's because you're embracing your old age.
Yeah, I'm used to just acting like an old man. It's great.
As am I. So this past weekend, I was at a Halloween party with some friends in Virginia. And I tell you, I was like one of the oldest people there. And I was like, I just want to stand by the cheese board and eat cheese and chocolate all night.
That's fine.
And that's what I did. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I was like, this
perfectly fine.
This is all I need is cured meat, cheese, and candy. I don't see any other thing that needs to happen other than that.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
So you said you were one of the oldest people at this party?
Because yes, this was Jordan's friends from college. So we went and visited them. Well, and so they're all like 3 years younger than me. They still a lot of them haven't eclipsed 30 yet.
Okay, but it's coming up.
It's coming down. Yeah, it's barreling down on them. Yeah.
They don't have
You could definitely tell it was one of like the last hurrahs because everybody was like, oh man, it's 12:30. Better start packing it in. And I was like, yes, welcome to the old age side of things.
Yes, yeah.
Because everybody's, you know, got houses and they're all like got pets and, you know, they're all married. It's, you know.
Yep, yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
Welcome to being in your 30s.
Welcome to your 30s. The point is, JB, it's all downhill from here. No, it's just getting to the good times. But happy birthday to JB.
Yep, happy birthday. Bruno.
Yeah, and I was doing stuff in Virginia for Halloween. Did you do anything particularly fun for the Halloween weekend?
My big thing, I want to say congratulations to my cousin Christy. It was her wedding.
Oh my gosh, Halloween weekend?
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually really cool.
And she had just about every obstacle life could throw at her for this wedding. This wedding was supposed to be in 2020. We all know what happened with that. And then on Friday here in the Philadelphia area, we got a really bad storm.
Oh yeah.
After the ceremony, but before the reception, bam, the lights went out, power went out. So that was interesting.
Gosh.
We were all stuck, in this ballroom, and you know, we could barely see because they only had the emergency lights on.
And you got to admit, though, that's kind of creepy for like a Halloween weekend wedding.
If you wanted to make it a Halloween-themed wedding, that was perfect. Like,
there you go. Yeah.
Because it was dim and dark and there was
stormy outside.
Light.
It was a dark and stormy night,
it
literally.
It was. For the bride, which is something you don't really hear for the bride that much. But congratulations to my cousin, Christy. Yeah,
congratulations.
And she got married.
Did everyone have a good time?
Yeah. So we still all had a good time. But
the food was good. The drinks were flowing. The music was pumping at some point.
Yep. My brother-in-law said, as long as you got the beer flowing, that's all that matters.
As long as, there you go.
Yeah, priority straight.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was all good, though. So that was Friday, and that pretty much kind of, you know, it's not to say that, like, I can't do anything, but, like,
you're old. We just talked about this.
Yeah, it's just, I needed Saturday to not do anything. And,
yeah.
And, you know, that was a good break. It was good that, like, that was, like, the only thing we had on the agenda for... Really, that weekend.
You know, I have a lot of weekends where it's like every moment of every day is like booked with something. And when you get that rare weekend when you can just like sit down, like I like to just sit down in like pajama pants with like some snack food and just like play video games or watch movies or TV and just like complete, like become one with the couch.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
And then something else, I guess, like I should mention, it was Halloween. Sunday. Did
you give out candy?
Yeah, we gave out candy.
Oh, that's so exciting because you're now a homeowner.
Yeah. So
you had to do it now.
Yep. Yep. Me and Rachel, we got the bowl of candy and we gave them out to all the neighborhood kids, which I never realized we actually have a lot of neighborhood kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So wait, were you guys like dressed up? Did you have like spooky music in the background?
We didn't get dressed up, but we had like we had Beetlejuice on and
okay.
It was good, you know, general.
So it felt festive when the kiddies came to the house.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good, yeah. Good.
So, and you know, I got to say that was like my first real like time giving out candy.
Yeah. How did it feel?
It felt fine. It was great. You know, I got to meet some of the neighbors, too. Which
that's good.
That's been a little difficult, you know, post-COVID. You're not really you know, do I go over somebody's house? Are they going to be comfortable? You know, it's still a little awkward
because you're
just not sure where everybody's
and especially
comfort
since,
level is with.
Especially
is
with since that. You're new there.
And we're new, yeah, you know.
You don't know where they stand
these young
on things.
Hooligans. And, yeah. I don't know. So we were all outside, so we all got to actually finally chat and, you know,
oh, that's cool.
Meet up and, you know, the one house down the street had a little, I guess bonfire, but it's not bonfire, but like a little, it was like a little, fire pit. Like, there
oh,
you go.
Fire pit. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a bonfire because we don't have that much, lawn area, but yeah, like a little fire pit and yeah.
Okay.
So it was good. It was a good, neighborhood kind of feel. We got to meet our neighbors. It was great. So
nice.
Yeah, I also ate a whole bunch of brownie brittle. That was my reward.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, that was my gift to myself. That was my candy to myself.
That was my
trick.
Brownie brittle. Okay.
All can't you know the kids can have you know the Snickers and all that.
Yeah.
Crap, but
you got the good stuff.
I want the good stuff. Oh, I want the brownie brittle. So I had.
Now I'm jealous. That sounds amazing. So wait, actually, this brings up another point. What type of candy did you give out? Were you a Cool House?
I thought we were.
Give out like pretzels and apples?
No, we gave out candy. We gave out Snickers and M&Ms and.
Okay.
Yeah, chocolate. Yeah, people mess it up?
No, because sometimes, I mean, when I was a kid, there was always the one house that would give out like a pack of gum or like a bag of pretzels. I'm like, I'm not in this for gum and pretzels. I'm in this for Hershey peanut butter cups. I'm in here for full size Reese's peanut butter cups, full size Hershey bars. I'm in it for the good stuff, man.
That sounds like the house legitimately forgot like they were supposed to do something for the kids and we're just like scooping around the house.
I kid you not, one time a house gave out rulers, like mini rulers.
Ooh, oh boy, that's what every kid wants.
And I'm like, you know, it's kind of fun because it's like it's something permanent, right? But at the same time, it's just a ruler.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I want candy. Now I accompanied Jordan and her niece for her niece's first time trick-or-treating in her parents' neighborhood. And some of the people in their neighborhood were giving out full candy bars, like full-size candy bars.
Uh-huh.
As a kid, I never got full-size
bars. I was doing just
there's always the mini ones.
The mini bites, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wasn't fancy. Uh-uh.
There were like multiple houses giving out full-size candy bars. I was like, whoa. I was like,
yeah,
man.
Big spenders over here?
Things have changed since I was a kid. I was lucky if I got rulers.
Yeah, you got rulers.
I got rulers, and they're getting full-size candy bars. So, but no, Halloween was fun.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to admit, I kind of realized this halfway through talking with Rachel. I'm not really a big Halloween guy.
You don't like, very much care for Halloween.
Or at the very least, I have a different definition of Halloween than Rachel does.
I'm in it for the candy and the scary movies.
But like, see, says another thing. It's like, movies are... No. To me, like, a Halloween movie is Halloween or Scream or a slasher.
No,
like,
no,
that,
no.
To me, that's a Halloween movie.
No, no. I'd rather watch like something like Hereditary or Midsommar, which my mom was randomly watching earlier. I want, like, psychological terror. I want the unease and, like, the messing with your mind kind of terror.
Yeah, that's fine, too. Yeah. But, like, Rachel's definition is, like, hocus pocus.
Okay, all right, hold on. No, no, no. No, no, Rich, hocus pocus is a legendary movie. Legendary.
Yeah. Overrated.
How very dare you?
I know.
How very dare you, sir?
Yeah, I don't know. I like, that's your Halloween movie?
Okay, look, I'll level with you here. As a movie, it's awful. Like, it's not a good movie, but it's kind of like, so because there's other people for Christmas who would argue that A Christmas Story is not a good movie. Now, I know you like A Christmas Story.
Yeah, I do. I love that movie.
I love A Christmas Story, but there are individuals who would say, not a good movie. And they might be correct.
I would defend that to my dying breath.
So Hocus Pocus is the Christmas Story of Halloween.
I don't know about that.
Where do you stand on Nightmare Before Christmas? That's my other favorite Halloween movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie. That's fine.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Before Christmas is better than Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
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 Oh,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I would put that higher up, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would rather, I would say that could be on the Halloween list. Yeah, that's fine.
There you go. Nightmare Before Christmas. Get Rich's seal of approval.
Yeah.
Which is big, because that's animated. He doesn't get
and I
that
usually don't like animated, yeah.
So that speaks volumes.
But that is a good, like, kind of creepy Halloween. Yeah, that's fine. That fits the decor.
You can watch it all the way through Christmas, too.
Yeah. And then, what was it? Rachel also wanted to watch Casper, and I was like, oh, my God.
Casper?
I was like, that. What?
Okay, look, I apologize to Rachel, but I put both of the previous movies we talked about way higher than Casper.
Yeah. Keep in mind, though, it was also, like, what was available on,
is it whatever was available on, like, the free,
like,
smart TV channels or whatever?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was, like, one of those things we also just wanted, like, background kind of, you know,
right.
setting. So it wasn't like she was, like, going through the DVD selection and, oh, Casper! Like, no.
Right. It's just what was on.
It was just
what
was on. All right, at the same time, yeah, I could have done without Casper.
Yeah. That's a...
Beetlejuice was a much better choice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice is a good one. I haven't watched that in a long time. That's a fantastic one.
Yep. So
but anyway,
yeah, I don't know. Anyway, go back to my main original point. Yeah, I have a different flow when it comes to Halloween. I'm more of like the horror movies and stuff like that. That's like what I like to do for Halloween.
You know what I used to do? This is going to sound really pathetic. I used to read Edgar Allan Poe on Halloween.
There you go. That's fine. That's not.
I don't know. I feel like that's kind of obnoxious.
You English teacher.
People are like, what do you like to do for Halloween? I was like, well, I like to have a drink and read Edgar Allan Poe. And they're like, shut up.
Shut up, nerd. Yeah.
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
yeah, nevermore. Actually, that's probably
good. That's a good transition.
Because we need to hit some current topics. So let's dump into the first batch of subjects. It's the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
I think I said dump into the sports sampler. Let's play. We'll have to play
dump?
That back. Yeah. I was supposed to say jump, and I think I said dump into the sports sampler.
Let's dump into the sports. Well, you know, there were a lot of lackluster moments in sports, and we'll get to some of them. But let's kick things off with... Why am I introducing my own segment? The two-minute drill.
There you go. 2 minutes is on the clock.
Are you ready, Mike? Why, I am.
What do you have, Mike?
All right, I got...
What are you going to dump into?
I'm going to dump right into some trades because there's the NFL trade deadline. And the big news, of course, is that Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson was not traded. As we all know, rumors have been swirling. There was lots of interest from several teams that were trying to make a play for Deshaun Watson, and it just didn't happen. So to me, that indicates maybe the off-the-field issues are scaring away these teams, which is not a good sign.
It's either that or the Texans still want more from their trade, and I think that might be it too. They're willing to just force Deshaun Watson to sit on the bench the entire year and get what they can in the offseason.
I think this is a huge mistake because, you know, I really want to know what teams were offering because they're going to wait and wait and wait. Then eventually he's going to get suspended and you're going to get nothing. So,
well, I mean, the fact that there's at least two trade offers primarily coming from the Dolphins and the Panthers, doesn't that suggest that actually maybe this is going to get settled? And
I mean, maybe.
The fact that there was this much interest going into the trade deadline. There was a rumor the Panthers were willing to trade Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, there,
why
there was
did
a
it,
lot.
Why did it all fall through then?
I would say the Texans probably wanted a king's ransom. They're probably looking to swing for the fences on.
They're looking for 3 to 4 first round picks
and second round. They want the kit and caboodle,
man.
They want the entire package.
Mistakes. I think mistakes on everybody's part. But anyway, you know, another mistake we talk about is despite the Eagles' struggles, they didn't trade away anyone. They retained all their big players. Andre Dillard was getting interest. Fletcher Cox was actively being shopped. They didn't move anybody, but we did pick up Broncos rookie cornerback Kerry Vincent Jr. with a 6th-round pick.
All right, there you go. And the buzzer sounds.
Yeah.
There you go.
I didn't even get to the big name, Von Miller.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I ran out of time. Von Miller was traded to the L.A. Rams for a 2nd and 3rd-round pick.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going full tilt towards a big playoff run, going
all in. They believe that this is the window right now.
Why not? I mean, look, you put Von Miller with that already fantastic. I mean, look, Aaron Donald. I mean, that defense is going to be something scary.
You need to be a L.A. Rams fan because you said this on the podcast like 2 or 3 years ago that if you were a GM, you wouldn't care about picks at all. You would trade away all your picks and get proven commodities.
Yeah.
That is what the Rams are doing. They have no first-round pick, no second-round pick, no third-round pick in 2022.
So
they're going all in right now.
It's, I mean, I will thank you, L.A. I will graciously accept the position
yeah.
to be a GM. But here's the thing. It's a brilliant plan if it works. If they whiff, they're going to be like the Philadelphia Eagles after they got Carson Wentz. They're going to have a couple of years of no picks to bring in any new talent, and they're going to find themselves in 3 to 4 years later kind of floundering with a lack of depth and talent. But we'll see. We'll see if it pays off. Von Miller, I think, can do really well there. And paired up with Aaron Donald on the line,
it's going to be a very intimidating line.
You got the 1-2 punch. You got Von Miller coming off the edge from the linebacker / defensive end spot. I don't even know what he plays anymore. He's kind of like a hybrid.
Yeah.
And you got Aaron Donald in the middle. I mean, you got that offense now, which is just amazing.
Jalen Ramsey in the
oh, that's right, Jalen Ramsey.
Back,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got all pros at every level of your defense.
Yep.
That is impressive.
Yep. Hey, so, this is it. This is their window.
This is the window.
They think this is their shot. Their shot to cash in at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting teams.
There are. It's an interesting season. Where do you want to head to next, Rich? Do we even want to talk about the Eagles this week, or do you want to get to other more important topics?
We could just, quickly mention the Eagles since we're on the NFC here.
Because one team that's not going to be doing well this year and whose window is firmly shut, I think, is the Eagles. Even with a commanding win over the Detroit Lions, 44-6, I think it's fool's gold.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't think anybody's the looking Lions, at that score and seeing this as a revival.
No, the Lions are a hapless team. Jared Goff is, I hate to say it, he's going to be on his way out in this league. He's not a starter. He's regressing so much. The Rams did the right thing by getting rid of him.
Yeah.
It's an ugly situation, and the Lions are going to have to maybe possibly be the first 0-17 team here, but they're going to have to
go for it. I say just tank.
Yeah, they're going to have to just swallow this horrible season and hopefully try and rebuild in 2022 because this season is going nowhere for them. Which again, like you said, makes this win kind of fool's gold. Doesn't really say much about the Eagles because they're such a weak team. It's not really, you know, something to write home about that they, you know, were doing well. I mean, the only thing that I thought that was very interesting was the defense was holding them to a shutout for all the way until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They almost pulled off a shutout, which, I mean, that's always difficult to do no matter what team you're facing off against.
I mean, that would have been cool, but, yeah, there's just not much to say about this game.
Yeah.
Because when you're dealing, like, if the Lions had been, like, you know, if they had won like two wins or even one win, the fact that they're winless, I mean, they are so bad. There's very little to take away from this that you can't immediately undo by saying, yeah, but it's the Lions. You know, if they were like had two wins and they were in a tough division, you know, that's something. But that's not the case here.
No.
Zero wins in a relatively weak division when you think about it, outside the Packers.
Yeah, right? it's nothing to write home about.
Yeah. All it does is save the jobs of Howie Roseman,
right.
Nick Sirianni, and
right.
Jalen Hurts.
Right. The way I look at this is Nick Sirianni coming off of that horrible quote where he said something like, we need to fertilize the talent and they have to grow and all this.
I understand where he was going and what he was trying to get.
No, don't say that. Don't say that in front of Philadelphia sports media. No, that was ridiculous and embarrassing.
I don't necessarily hate it. I think what made it work, let's put it this way. If the Eagles were 500, or if they were close to, you know, trying to take control of the division, I think he would have been given a little more leeway. The problem with this is that there is such a clear lack of talent, such a clear lack of direction, such a clear lack of leadership, that coming out with something like that rings completely hollow and false. Like, if he had been a coach that commanded respect from his players, or commanded respect from the organization, or if they were, you know, maybe one game behind, or if, you know, they were playing a lot of tough, close games, maybe that would mean something. But the fact that they're playing the way that they are, and everybody can see easily that, like, it's not about fertilizing. There's nothing to fertilize.
Yeah. Except your pants.
Okay, yeah. Like if you're fertilizing something that's going to grow and prosper, but what is growing and prospering here? Nothing. This is salted earth.
Right now it is, yeah.
You know, so I don't want to hear fertilizer, because to me, when you're fertilizing nothing, you're going to get nothing. And that's what we're doing right now. We have, in some ways, really inexperienced players, in some ways, really old players who need to be shipped out of here. And we have a coaching staff that's just completely out of their league. There's nothing to fertilize.
Well, yeah, so that's what I think this is a big nothing burger.
Yeah, let's just move on.
I think the Eagles come crashing back to earth next week, but we'll get into that in just a minute. Before we do that, though, there is something kind of very pressing that occurred on Thursday Night Football last week. Happened during the kickoff. During one of the kickoffs in the game between the Packers and the Cardinals, a brutal hit occurred on the kickoff return.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinal attacker tackles the Packer returner right in the knees, head first, and he's just going full speed, running down the length of the field, and just crushes into this dude. And results in both players being out for the season now. The Packers player destroyed his knee, and the Cardinals player, immediate concussion, had to be rushed to the hospital on a stretcher, couldn't get out on his own power, rushed to the hospital.
It was ugly. I mean, I watched the replay. It was bad.
So basically, this is flaring up the calls again to get rid of kickoffs, because when returned, they are so dangerous.
Yeah.
And this is an example of one of those moments, because simply just they're running just full charge. The kicking team, they're running full charge the length of the field. So they're gaining so much momentum. And then the return team, they have to stand still and then try and block. So they're kind of just sitting ducks to the other team.
Right.
When they come rushing down the field, it's not a good a good mash of player interactions, if you will, here.
No, not at all.
So, again, the calls are being funneled into the commissioner's office. Should there be kickoff? Should we replace it with a 4th-and-15 solution? What do you think, Mike? Is there room to change the kickoffs?
I definitely think there's room to change the kickoffs. It's whether or not the NFL wants to actually change them, and whether they're willing to deal with the backlash. Every time you try to change something like this that's perceived as taking away the big hit, like, this has been a problem in the NFL, because we used to memorialize and, like, idolize the big hit, right? And now, you know, you hear calls from certain fans like, oh, the NFL is so weak now. They don't let them hit the quarterback. They don't let them hit, wide receivers and running backs, yada, yada, yada. So anything that's perceived to be taking away the big hit potential in some NFL fans is a loss. Now, I would argue that kickoffs are currently the most boring part of a football game. Because of how they changed them, there's never really any returns. And when there are returns, it's usually like 5-10 yards. Your team ends up worse than if they just let it bounce out the back of the end zone. So I think that there is plenty of room to change the kickoffs. Now, what that looks like, there's a lot of different suggestions. The one that I know that you sent me that I think you're a big proponent of is the 4th and 15 at the 35, which I think could be kind of interesting. I think that, one, it still allows for big play potential, either the offense going for it on 4th and 15 to try and, you know, continue,
keep the ball
or come back from behind, or if they have to punt it, because that would be the option, it would be go for it on 4th and 15 or punt. I think a punt return offers more opportunity for a big return, an exciting return. So you still have the big score potential. You still have the trick play potential. People are like, what about onside kicks? There's no more surprise onside kicks. So you could do a fake punt.
Yep, we've seen that happen.
You could do a drop kick.
Yep.
So there's still trick play potential. More than that, I think more importantly, and really why this is being considered, is you're protecting the safety of the players, because most of the players on a punt formation are taken up on the line, either blocking the punter or trying to block the punt. So you're not having, you know, 10 players running full tilt towards, you know, a stationary returner. You know, you have maybe a handful of guys running and they're being blocked immediately off the line, so they're not picking up that full steam. Yes, injuries can still happen, but injuries can happen on any play. The point is you're reducing the risk of a catastrophic injury.
Yeah, like we saw on Thursday night. I mean, literally, both of those players are out for the season.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Bam. Instantly. And that sucks for these kids to have something like that happen. And in addition to that, you can also block the punt.
Yeah.
It also makes punting more
strategic. The punter becomes more important.
The punter becomes more important. And I think because it's a punt, you have to do away with the flag where if you kick it out of bounds, the other team gets it at the 40. So it also introduces strategy. Do you try and kick it out of bounds? Do you try and drop it in a corner? Do you try and, you know, pop it up inside the 10 and get it to try and bounce around at the 5, you know? So I don't really see a negative in switching to that rule other than backlash from the fan base.
Yeah, no, I'm all for this rule. I especially after seeing what happened again on Thursday night, it was just such a brutal hit. And I watched it in real time too. That was the kind of the shocking part. Is like, it's one thing to catch this later, like you did, and you watch the replay.
Right.
I was literally watching that just like, you know, Thursday night. I had nothing better on TV. I'm just kind of lounging around. You know, maybe I had another one of those brownie brittle chips, you know, and I'm just kind of, and all of a sudden, bam, that thing hits, and you're just like, oh my god, like that just stopped everything. It was just like, is there, are these guys okay? It's just like, oh my god, like that was just a brutal thing to see.
Yeah,
it's got to stop. They got to do something, because it's gonna knock out talented players at an alarming clip if this keeps up.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that annoys me is that they already changed it. They made it way more boring because there's hardly ever any returns. But the injuries still happen.
Yeah, because every now and then they got to return it, and then this happens.
Yeah. So
get rid of it altogether.
It was a half step. It was a half measure.
Yeah.
You know, if we learned anything from Breaking Bad, no half measures.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
I don't know what made me think of that.
That's a good line. It is. Speaking of half measures and no half measures, we need to go full measure. Looking into the future, because we have to preview the upcoming slate of NFL games with the Fantastic Four picks, four games that we think you should keep an eye out for, and we'll make predictions on. What do you have for us, Mike?
All right, first up, we got a good old Tank Fest. 2-1-7 teams are facing off against each other. The Houston Texans are traveling to Miami to face off against the Dolphins. It's funny because these two teams were the two teams involved in the most heated Deshaun Watson trade rumors. So Rich, 1-7 Texans at 1-7 Dolphins. Deshaun Watson isn't playing for either side.
No.
So who wins in Tank Fest? And also, what does winning even mean?
Yeah, right. It doesn't even really mean anything. So I'm going to go back to my Vegas roots here.
Okay.
The point spread on this is 6.5.
Wow.
Favoring the Dolphins. So Texans get the point. If you're looking to bet this game for some godforsaken reason, I guess you go Texans, because really, I feel like this is a coin flip. I mean, I know Mills, the replacement quarterback, is not as good as you would like to see on your football team, but Tua has not been doing too good this year at either, and that's why the Dolphins are seriously looking into getting a new quarterback. Tua's apparently not the answer.
Yeah.
And even if he is going to do well in this game, I still think there's just so many question marks on the Dolphins team. I say take the team with the points. I mean, you're getting almost a touchdown with the Texans in what's essentially a coin flip with this tank fest. So if you force me to put money on this game, I would say go Texans with the points.
Really?
Yeah.
Texans. Yeah, no, I disagree. I think I got to go Dolphins here because simply the fact.
But are you talking about with the points or?
I'm talking about just, you know,
the game.
Pick who I think is going to win.
Okay.
No, I think the Texans can cover because.
Yeah.
See, so yeah, I think the Texans can cover because they're both god awful teams. I could see this being a really lackluster game. I mean, both these teams are rated in the bottom, I think, five or six teams in terms of total offense and also in terms of total defense. So you have two of the absolute worst teams in the league. But I think the Dolphins do edge out at home and end up winning. But to your point, maybe only by a field goal or two. I think the Texans cover, but the Dolphins win.
There you go.
So there you go. Give a little bit of betting analysis and football analysis.
Woo!
Just barely. Next up, speaking of just barely, the Cleveland Browns are just barely staying alive in the AFC North. It is a tough division currently led by the Cincinnati Bengals, who the Browns are facing. The Browns at the Bengals. Rich, who's going to win this one? The Browns could fall out of all contention with a loss here. The Bengals could further solidify their dominance in the AFC North. What do you think?
Oh, damn you, Ohio teams. I hate this game so much after last week because the Bengals were looking really good, and then they blow a random game to the Jets.
Yeah.
And then the Browns are looking decent, and now they have all this drama with Odell Beckham Jr. complaining that he's not getting the ball enough, and a kind of renewed question mark on Baker Mayfield. Is he the quarterback, the right quarterback after he got hurt? And now I forget the guy's name. The guy from the Vikings that before Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Case Keenum?
Casey Keenum, yeah.
He's back?
Yeah, he led them to a win. So
what?
They have a whole bunch of question marks on their side of the ball as well. Oh, my God. Ohio, why are you so complicated? Both of these teams.
Yeah, you can't do it right, Ohio.
Yeah. I will go. There's a saying that they do on a couple of sports talk shows where you say when it comes to football teams, you're not as good as your best game, but you're also not as bad as you are in your worst game. I'm going to hope that the choke job against the Jets was a fluke and irregularity, and I'll go with the Bengals at home.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, is that the Bengals have shown, you know, they weren't supposed to be this good this year, which means that they are beating expectations, which means that they actually have something going for them. The Browns were supposed to be decent and now are starting to slip a little bit.
Yep.
So that, I think, is more worrying than the Bengals exceeding expectations. And yes, you have a bad one against the Jets, but it's a young team, young quarterback, young wide receiver. Give them time. And I think if they come back, win a good one against a heated division rival, this could be something that could propel them to really take control of that division. If they can pull off a win here, I think it's pretty important for them to do so. So I'm hoping that they win. I like the Bengals story this year. So I'm going Bengals as well. Absolutely.
All right.
Next up, we have the best of the best. We have two of the best teams in the league, the Tennessee Titans.
Are you sure you're going to stick by that now after Derrick Henry got hurt?
All right, calm down. We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Facing off against the LA Rams in LA, who are going all in. Rich, it's kind of like, you know, two different tales here. One team is acquiring players because they see this as their window being wide open. Now, all of a sudden, the one team may have their window being preemptively shut on them. What do you think? Can the Titans, they just signed Adrian Peterson, remember? They dragged him out of retirement, I think. Maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You have to go Rams. I don't see how you can even justify a Titans pick here. I mean,
but what if I said
Derrick Henry was just the gasoline to this offense, and now you're telling me he's out 6 to 10 weeks with that injury? I don't know. I think the death knell might have sounded for this team.
Well, you know, Rich, you would be right, but no, you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's LA Rams all the way. They're playing outstanding football, and it's only going to get better after the trade deadline, after they ship off DeSean Jackson and bring in Von Miller. It's only gonna get better for them. Titans, on the other hand, Adrian Peterson, I don't know, man. He's like 300 years old. He had a couple of injuries. He hasn't done anything in a couple of years. I don't think I don't think anybody's replaced him with Derrick Henry.
No.
But especially not a washed-up running back who was last good like 5 years ago. So
you say 5 years ago, but he had that monster 90-yard run against the Eagles 2 years ago.
I could have a monster run against the Eagles. Have you seen them play? Speaking of, Rich, the L.A. Chargers are coming into town to face off against the Eagles. Should we go down there and help the Eagles out? Who do you think is going to win this one?
Yes, you will. You said you can run all over the place.
I will, yeah.
But no, it's the Chargers in this one. They have more talent
on
there.
Herbert?
Yeah, Justin Herbert. He's having a good season. They have so much talent on that roster. And if the line is still under a field goal, take the Chargers. I don't see why the Chargers are being so close to the Eagles in terms of the Vegas spreads right now.
I guess because
Chargers.
They haven't pulled away yet. I mean, they have a winning record, but it's not like commandingly so. But I think they're going to get a little bit of juice here against the Eagles. I think this is going to give them a little pep in their step coming into Philly, being able to beat up on a bad team who I think are going to be falsely flying high after demolishing the Lions.
Now, again, like we said, it's not a big accomplishment.
Right, exactly. So I think the Eagles are going to get their wings clipped and come back down to earth with this one. I'm going Chargers as a visiting team. Yeah, definitely.
All right. And there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week...
Nine?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, we're moving fast in the NFL season.
Yeah, I know. Not fast enough. Why can't the Eagles just hurry up and lose them all? So we can get 2 top 10 picks, Rich. That's what's at stake here.
All right. Well, there you go. Mike worrying about the right things here on the Fantastic Four picks for this week. All right. There you go. Before we officially leave the sports sampler, there's something I want to play here.
Okay.
So we had Halloween this past weekend.
Of course.
And this clip here is absolutely fantastic. This is Mike Leach. He's a college football head coach, very famous, one of the most successful current football head coaches. And he's kind of like a Bill Belichick. He's usually not very talkative. You know, he just kind of gives simple answers, and he wants to move along in the process and get ready, you know.
Right.
You know, move along about his day.
Right.
But because this was the game before Halloween, the reporters after the game asked him about his candy habits, his favorite candy, and suddenly he got very talkative.
Okay.
So here you go. I don't know why. Apparently this inside, he's a little child because he gets excited over this candy question. And I got the clip pulled up here. So. Here we go. Coach Leach talking about candy.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy
game?
Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. When I was a kid, well, gummy bears. Let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Oh, there you go. It's the so clip good. Is in.
He
oh
was,
my gosh.
He was so excited. I love to see that though. He was like the gummies. He was so excited.
I loved he turned into like a little kid, like, and then you have the nerd clusters. Those are good.
He's like, that's outstanding.
He gave like his own like outstanding.
He's like, Europe's got better candy than we do. Like he's like,
he's all
did
over
he mention
place.
Candy innovation?
Yeah, candy like, innovation.
What?
like he's like the PR person for these candy companies.
Yeah, he's like,
we have candy innovation.
He's like researching candy, like in his free time. He's just like reading and writing and studying candy, the candy innovations of the 21st century. Like,
oh yeah, you could definitely tell whoever the reporter was. Like the producer in her ear was like, keep going, this is gold.
I think
like she asked, like, you know,
they were expecting,
sour, regular.
Yeah,
like she keeps asking follow up questions.
Yeah, they were, before they asked that question, they were expecting him to be like, oh, I like Reese's, talk to you later.
Yeah,
but then they got a real answer,
right?
And I was like, oh, gold mine, you
gold
know?
Mine, keep going, keep them talking. Yeah. Yeah, outstanding
candy
innovation. Sounds like a damn PR representative for the candy company.
I'd buy candy from him, definitely.
There you go, Mike Leach, secret candy salesperson.
Perfect.
I also love at the end where she's like, do you think you're going to get any candy? And he's like, I don't know. That is definitely like an old man answer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's always that sound, too. All the old guys are like,
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know if the doctor's going to let me.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, you know what the doctor will let us do, Rich? Launch into this side dish because we have some candy to try as well.
Right. I thought this would be a good segue into some taste testing here.
That's right. So once again, we have a new Universal Yums box to talk about. I swear they still have not decided to sponsor these videos. I don't know why. but we have Universal Yums from Czech Republic.
Ah.
It's Czech Republic. It's not the Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
Yeah. Did you know that? I don't think you're supposed to say the.
No.
The.
Are you sure that's not Ukraine?
Or maybe that's Ukraine.
Ukraine. Yeah, it's Ukraine. You're not supposed
people
to say
the
Ukraine.
The Ukraine.
You're
but
not
it's actually
Ukraine.
Just Ukraine.
Correct.
Yeah. So maybe I'm wrong. It is the Czech Republic. I don't know.
I don't know about Czech Republic. I just know it is for Ukraine.
All I know is that I have candy here from the
you're
Czech
good.
Republic.
We got candy.
Okay.
Outstanding
candy. So these are.
Candy innovation.
This might be candy innovation. These are apple and cinnamon strudel gummy sticks.
Coach Leach, he said Europe is better. So
well, this well, exactly
go.
Right.
We've got proof here.
So yeah, so this is an apple and cinnamon strudel gummy stick.
Okay.
This yum is just in the what
yes,
I'm trying to,
yes stick.
It's
yes
so,
stick
it's
is,
so
what it's look,
odd.
Is what it's
yes,
called.
Yes stick.
The yes stick. Made in Czech Republic, distributed by Universal Yums. Yeah, this looks interesting. Contains wheat. That's good.
Contains wheat. All right. Let's give it a try here. All right, you got one. I'm going to grab one, too. They're weird. They look like they're filled with something.
Yeah, I guess that's the strudel stuff.
So it's coated in cinnamon, and it's like a gummy stick coated in sugar.
It smells like an apple strudel.
All right, should we go in for it?
I would, yeah.
I'm kind of concerned. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, so, yeah, go ahead.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, the apple strudel gummy. See if it's outstanding. It's a little hard to chew, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, I'm getting it now. Not at first, but the more you eat it. The more you can taste the apple.
Candy innovation here. Yeah, that's some candy innovation right there.
This is innovation. I've never had anything like this.
Yeah, it does taste like apple strudel.
Wow.
From the Czech Republic. Wow.
This is the first one we've had in a while that's like actually good.
Yeah. Yes. Outstanding review for Mike.
No, because usually we're like, oh, it doesn't really taste like anything, or
yeah.
We just outright don't like it.
No, but that has the properties of
that's
some apple
good.
Strudel.
At first, I wasn't getting it, and then the more you eat it,
yeah,
you start to get that apple cinnamon flavor.
That's probably what the thing you saw in the middle.
It's probably like some sort of apple filling. And,
yeah.
And in terms of texture, folks who can't see or taste these, it's kind of, have you ever had a cowtail?
No.
No? All right, never mind then.
No, never had cowtail.
Yeah. It's like weird. It's like a tough exterior, and then as you bite into it, it's like the inside is not like gooey or chewy.
I had oxtail.
Oxtail is delicious.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to order some Jamaican food, but I haven't had any recently.
Yep. You get a chance. You order some oxtail.
Did you have oxtail recently?
Not recently, but I've had it before. Oh,
there's a place in Norristown. I can't remember what it's called, but it makes phenomenal. Best place, though, is right here in Ambler at Butchie's Grill.
Oh,
Butchie's Grill, if you want to sponsor the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah,
let me know.
We're Ambler people.
We're Ambler people. There you go. Anyway, apple cinnamon strudel thing aside, we have another one here. We have caraway pretzel bites. So again, show that off to the camera. Caraway pretzel bites. The spicy seeds are added to the water before boiling potatoes, yada, yada, yada. It's used to make, so they're talking about how popular caraway seeds are. We don't really use caraway seeds in many things here.
Yeah. I'm kind of worried about this.
But so I think it's supposed to taste like rye bread with caraway seeds.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. It looks like a regular.
It looks like a pretzel. Those little black seeds in there. It's probably just going to taste like a pretzel.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we're going to taste whatever caraway seeds are.
Caraway seeds, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, caraway seeds. See what you got. Yeah, it's a pretzel.
It's different. It's not as.
It tastes like a pumpernickel bread.
Yeah.
Or like a rye bread.
Is that what? Is that what we use caraway seeds in? Is pumpernickel and rye?
Yeah, it tastes like a pumpernickel or a rye bread. That's what it tastes like. So, yeah, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, it's fine.
It's like a little rye bread bite kind of.
Yeah. If you're a big pretzel fan, yeah, this is right up your alley then. My only problem
it's like weirdly soft.
My only problem is I'm with George Costanza is that when I eat too many pretzels. These pretzels are making me thirsty!
That's right.
They do. But
is it just me, or is that not as crunchy as regular pretzels?
Yeah, it felt a little
like
softer.
I don't know if it's stale or just soft, but like, did it taste stale?
No, it wasn't stale. I just think it was the nature of
how
it's prepared.
It was like bready. Yeah.
It tasted more like bread than a pretzel.
Yeah, it like literally tasted like a crunchy bit of like rye bread.
Yeah. All right,
not bad though.
Not bad, yeah. But I think the winner between the two goes to the apple strudel.
Oh, definitely. We're definitely going to get some of those during the break.
Yeah. So there you go. Quick little taste test. Since Coach Leach got to have his candy and his candy innovation.
That's right. He had his gummies. We got to have our gummies.
Right. So I wanted to have some taste test as well to round out the sports sampler and a quick little taste test here. To wrap up the first part of the show, but don't go anywhere because we still got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie. And I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Oh, yeah. we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh, man, that was a good little taste test there to close out the first part of the show. And
I always like it when we can have snacks during the show.
Yep, and now we got a tasty snack to look forward to after the show as well. And what's it called again? I always forget the name of this thing.
Universal Yums.
Universal Yums. So if you want to join us in these taste testings, you can order a box yourself. And
yeah, actually, that's a great point. I think it's like 20-some bucks a month. You get yourself a box of, I think it's like 12 snacks from a random country every month. It's fantastic. You get to visit another country. It comes with a little booklet with facts and statistics and information on each product and the culture. And it's a fantastic little gimmick that they got there.
Yeah.
You get to like basically visit another country without leaving your home.
Yep. And you get to try all the food.
Yeah.
So
that's the best part.
Yep. All right. So speaking of trying things out, we tried out sports. We tried out food. We can try out some movies and stuff.
There you go.
With the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
All right, entertainment entree time, and let's do this. Let's do the part of the show where Mike is going to let you know what's coming up this weekend with movies, TV, video games. What you should keep an eye out for in Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do you got?
All right, well, Marvel fans will continue their Phase 4 journey with another new hero group. The Eternals comes to theaters this weekend. The Eternals are a race of immortal beings created by the Celestials. You remember Ego from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yep, one of his kind created the Eternals, and they have been living on Earth for thousands of years, hidden amongst regular humans. They are finally revealing themselves now to fight a new type of enemy known as Deviants. But questions...
Wait, Deviants?
Deviants, yes.
Like the ones from Loki?
Oh, no. This is a different type of Deviant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boo! Damn you, Marvel!
Now, that's not to say that eventually, you know, it might not all come... It might come together, because there's lots of questions that remain, like, you know, why have the Eternals not interfered with events on Earth, like things like Thanos.
Yeah,
you know,
that big guy that collected all the Infinity Stones.
That big guy, yeah, exactly. Why didn't they intervene in that? All the other big Avengers villains, why didn't the Eternals intervene? Did they have a role in those events? Who's currently controlling the Eternals? How do they play a role in the multiverse, if at all? It seems like, again, Marvel's heading towards, not it seems like, they definitely are heading towards a huge multiversal storyline, and I'm expecting the Eternals will play some sort of prominent role and start tying everything together. Unfortunately, it's not doing well with critics, but if you're a big MCU fan, it's still, I think, worthwhile to check out because it's something that Marvel hasn't done yet, is something like the Eternals, so go check it out in theaters this week. In video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. But other than that, it is also a big week in video games with two massive releases. We have Call of Duty Vanguard, the latest Call of Duty entry. The campaign takes you back to World War II, traveling across four different theaters of war and featuring multiple multinational characters. Meanwhile, the multiplayer offers many different modes, as well as the ability to choose a pacing for the matches between tactical, assault, and blitz. So you get to decide what kind of speed and what kind of intensity you want your multiplayer matches to be, which I think is a cool new addition, as well as a cooperative zombie horde mode, which is all the rave in Call of Duty games. But the other big release is at the opposite end of the spectrum. It's Animal Crossing New Horizons Happy Home DLC. This is their first major DLC. and introduces the ability to construct and customize an entire archipelago of Dream Islands for new characters. So you got a little bit of everything. You got free games, you got first-person shooters, and you got Animal Crossing. Anything that you could want as a video gamer, you got something this week. So that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this segment, This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mike, I know you've been dying to talk about this next subject here, because we have a new trailer that came out. We're coming off the heels of Venom 2, the shocker that we talked about there last week with Nena.
Yep.
Spider-Man potentially leaving his own universe, and now we've got a new trailer out here. Morbius.
This is not normally a trailer that we would talk about.
No.
Unfortunately, or rather fortunately for us, it seems like that Sony might be hinting at some very big things to come. Now, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here, but the Morbius trailer just came out. Morbius, for those that don't know, is an anti-hero from the Spider-Man universe. So Morbius is a half-vampire, half-human. Kind of a hero, kind of not a hero. He sometimes works with Spider-Man, sometimes works against Spider-Man. He featured prominently in some of the animated shows in the 90s. That's where I know him from, but he's a big character, you know, in his own right. So Sony is trying to turn Jared Leto into Morbius and trying to bring another Spider-Man side character to the forefront, like they're doing with Venom, right? Yep. They seem to be focusing on the Spider-Man villains because Spider-Man is off busy with the MCU. What makes this noteworthy is not the trailer. The trailer was fairly generic. It's like, okay, whatever. It's like a solid 6 out of 10 movie, probably. May or may not see it. Probably wait for it to come to streaming services. What I'm interested in, though, is the multiple references to both Spider-Man and Venom. And not just Spider-Man, but different versions of Spider-Man.
Yep.
This is where it gets really important. Keep up, guys. There's going to be spoilers, and there's going to be a lot of information here.
Uh-oh, should I play the spoiler music?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to be covering like every Spider-Man universe from Tobey Maguire onward, so maybe.
Barely spoiler, but still, I get to play it.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
So, there you go. Yeah. If you are dying to catch up on Spider-Man, you may want to...
Well, because we might talk about things in the latest Spider-Man movies as well. Like this first item here. So, the first thing that we see, one of the first references, is we see a Spider-Man mural in the background, right?
Yep.
And scrawled across that mural is the word murderer. Now, could be a coincidence. It could also be a reference to the MCU Spider-Man, who, as we remember, was just revealed by J. Jonah Jameson, his secret identity, and accused of murdering Mysterio. So that, to me, suggests that it could be referencing that event. Now, the actual Spider-Man in the image is the Tobey Maguire-style suit.
Yeah.
So
the poster's from the Sam Raimi.
So right away, it's the Sam Raimi poster, but the word murder very prominently scrawled across it. It could be just a random coincidence, but I think to have that shot and to have that shot in a trailer would be really dumb to just kind of like randomly throw the word murder. They could have thrown anything on it, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, I think it might be a little intentional. Another big reveal, Oscorp Tower.
Yep.
In the skyline. Again, Oscorp prominently featured as the leading, or not Oscorp, but the Green Goblin, who is Norman Osborn, was the main villain of the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. Green Goblin is returning in the MCU in the Spider-Man movie coming up in December. So, again, interesting to show Oscorp, very prominent building in the Marvel Universe, very prominent name in Spider-Man's stories. More importantly and interestingly, there's rumors online that, remember, Avengers Tower was sold in the one Avengers, or they alluded to it being sold or bought by someone, that they no longer operate out of the tower. There's a rumor that potentially, maybe, it was Norman Osborn purchasing Avengers Tower to turn into the Oscorp Tower in the MCU. So, potential rumors there. But anyway, the main point here is Osborne is featured in both the universes. Then you have the Daily Bugle, paper featuring references to both Rhino and Black Cat.
Yep, now, saw that. Yep.
This is interesting because the paper version of the Daily Bugle only exists in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
But the characters it references only exist in this Andrew Garfield Spider-Man universes.
Ooh, things are bleeding.
Again, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think if you have any one of these things, maybe there's nothing there. But if you have the Raimi Spider-Man with the MCU accusation, and you have the Raimi Daily Bugle with the Garfield characters, and you have Oscorp Tower, Osborn potentially being in two different universes, and then you have this one, and this is the most damning piece of evidence, Michael Keaton appears in the trailer. You say, why Michael? Who is Michael Keaton? He plays Vulture, Adrian Toomes, in the MCU version of Spider-Man. You have way too many elements from way too many versions of Spider-Man for this to be a coincidence.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't just... Either that or they're just supremely stupid and they're just grabbing at everything, which I think would be really, really bad. Like, you know, comic book and superhero fans, you know, nerd culture in general is going to pick apart trailers like this, like we just did. Why would you intentionally, unintentionally do this if not to suggest that something is happening, right?
I also love the fact Michael Keaton's only line is just like, let's keep in touch.
Yeah.
Like, which, you know, I imagine if there's going to be...
Very suggestive, right?
Right. If there's going to be a multi-universe storyline, it's going to be very difficult to do. So it's kind of like, you know, a wink and a nod to the audience.
Right. Yeah. This is really exciting. I mean, there's also multiple references to Venom in Morbius as well. But that's expected because they're both Sony properties. But the numerous references to Spider-Man and the cross-universe references to Spider-Man specifically is what's very intriguing to me. I think that whatever backroom deal Sony and Marvel struck is going to allow Spider-Man and his entire rogues gallery to kind of operate in both universes.
Yeah.
I mean, to me...
They got to go all in. That would be my concern, is they cannot do this half-assed.
Yeah.
If they're going to do this, they need to go full-ass and commit to this storyline 100% and really develop these Spider-Man villains, Spider-Man characters... I mean, you really could, like, you know, your wet dream to really flesh out the Spider-Verse and have that rival the Avengers universe. Like,
right.
You really can do it.
Yeah.
But you got to go all in.
You got to go all in. And I'm curious. Part of me is just wondering, like, I don't know how keen Disney and Marvel is to play ball, but I wonder if Sony was like, you know, we can make this happen if the two of us work together, because they... You know, Marvel has characters that sometimes feature in Spider-Man stories. Like, Spider-Man teams up with the X-Men occasionally. Disney just got the X-Men from Fox, you know? So, is Disney willing to lend some of their heroes just as cameos or appearances in the Sony movies? Like, there's so much potential here, you know? And I'm thinking of this in an idealistic, utopian world where these movie studios are like, let's just play ball with each other and be, you know, friends and make... the biggest movie franchise ever. They could do that. Like, they're on the cusp of... We're not talking about, you know, like, the MCU is movies crossing over. We're talking about, like, entire universes crossing over.
Yeah, entire movie universes. Yep.
They said that the MCU was impossible. Nobody's going to do it. Nobody's going to watch 20-some movies.
Showed them.
So, the impossible has already been done. And I think it's way more profitable for both studios to allow their characters to cross over than to keep them siloed off. You know, I think that Marvel absolutely wants to keep Spider-Man, right? Because Spider-Man is one of Marvel's biggest heroes.
Yeah.
And I think Sony realizes that the success of Spider-Man is directly linked to his involvement in the MCU right now.
Right.
Like, I don't think you can separate the two, because none of
it'd be very tough to do so. I don't know. Because to me, it seems like they've been building Spider-Man to be the new leader of the Avengers.
He was Iron Man's protege. I mean, there's no way around it.
Right. So if you snatch him away from the MCU, I don't know who you replace him with.
Yeah.
Who takes over the leadership kind of de facto role?
I mean, you got rid of Captain America. I mean, maybe it's Captain Falcon or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Captain Falcon.
Yeah, I think that it would really be in their best interest for both studios to allow...
Maybe Doctor Strange. Maybe he could take over the reins, but...
He's not really a leader, though. When you look at these characters, and I know what you're going to say, Spider-Man's not really a leader either, because he's kind of like a rogue guy all by himself. But the reason why Spider-Man works in this role is because he is just a regular guy. He's kind of like the perfect person to lead a team like that because he brings a little bit of humility and grounding to it. Like, he's not a super soldier. He's not a billionaire. He's not a wizard. He's just a regular guy looking out for the best interests of regular guys, which is what the Avengers are doing. They're Earth's mightiest heroes. They're looking out for Earth. They're looking out for the common folk. They're looking out for the everyman. You know, they're not fighting wars in... I mean, they end up fighting wars in space to protect Earth, but it all goes back to protecting the people of Earth. You know, and you want somebody who is, you know, for all intents and purposes, rooted in what that means, you know? I think that's why Spider-Man is such an important character and such a relatable character. Now I'm just talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But back to the topic at hand, I think it would be, I'm really excited because I see the potential here, and it really seems to me like they are leading us to that, because you don't have Venom with its end credit scene and this trailer and then Spider-Man come out a month later. You don't have these three events without there being a plan in place.
Yeah.
Because that's really bad planning and really misleading.
Bad planning? Movie studios executives wouldn't do that, right?
Marvel doesn't.
Eh, good point. Well,
DC does.
No comment. So there you go. That'll wrap up the entertainment entree for now. Mike
Sorry,
is happy.
Rich.
Mike had to throw me under the bus. But
you know I love you, buddy.
Thank you. Now with that over with, it's time to get to our final part of the show, the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing this story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Rich, where are we heading to in the odd news? Do I even need to ask?
Oh, you did not even need to ask on that one. It is good old Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you always got to have Florida ready to go at
That's
a moment's
right.
notice here.
That's right. Well, Rich, spin us a yarn. Tell us a tale.
Yep. Let me make sure I get... good. I got it loaded up here.
All right. He's got to get clips loaded up.
I had to get something loaded up here. Just because this is kind of in your wheelhouse of things you would find interesting.
Okay.
Because a routine traffic stop on County Road 305 prompted a large law enforcement presence on Monday morning, according to the Flagler County Sheriff's Office. According to the police report, deputies pulled over 64-year-old Lewis Branson because his Dodge truck had an expired tag on it. But while they were searching the truck, that's when they discovered the presence of a live grenade.
Ah!
Oh, yeah.
That's why you were researching explosion sounds.
Yes. So, just for you, Mike. Potentially going to blow up Florida in his truck over here.
Nice.
So, I know you love grenade stories. Well, this guy had a live grenade just casually with him in his Dodge truck.
You know, just in case.
Yeah, you know. You never
why?
Know.
Just why?
Good question.
Like, you're just like, I want to know, like, did he... Oh, man. So, you know, I looked up because I wanted to know. I wanted to get a frame of reference for where the story is taking place. I looked up County Road 305. There is literally nothing on this road, Rich. It is in the middle of nowhere.
Perfect. That's the perfect area for a guy with a live grenade to go to. Sounds fine by me.
It's like alarming how empty this road is.
Just like that. just continuing, like, rolling and the bell going on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Sounds like the kind of place for old Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, my God.
You know, Buckeye Chuck here.
Buckeye Chuck, where the hell have you been? It's been years.
I've been lost. I've been lost right here. Help me. I'm in the middle of Florida. Help me out here.
Were you lost on Route 305?
Is that what this road's called? I have no idea. Help me. I'm Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, my God, Buckeye.
It's so
nice to hear that you're still alive.
I'm barely alive in here. The only thing I got with me is a Snickers bar and a live grenade.
Well, a live grenade, that's pretty handy. You could go hunting for it. You could catch yourself some gators.
Oh, I guess I could, but I don't know how I'd cook it because I used the grenade. I got one Snickers bar without help.
That might give you another day. That Snickers bar.
All right. Well, send help down my way.
I will contact the authorities and have them come rescue you. Okay.
Please help me. I need a pork chop and poontang. Please help.
What did you say? A pork chop and poontang?
I need a pork chop and poontang. Please help me. I'm in the middle of backwards Florida. Help me out here. Come on
now.
Oh
God, you do need help, Buckeye.
Help me, Buckeye Chuck here.
Oh my God, you played that and I was like, oh my God. That's a sound effect I haven't heard. Did you literally just rediscover that?
I rediscovered that. Yeah, good old Buckeye Chuck. We haven't heard from him in forever.
Yeah.
Buckeye Chuck.
Well, let me tell you, if there's somebody that's living on Route 305, it's definitely Buckeye Chuck.
Yeah, Buckeye Chuck there. Good old Buckeye. Anyway, so the cops say that while they had pulled Mr. Branson over for an expired license... That's when they searched the vehicle and found what appeared to be a hand grenade.
Lovely.
Yep. Branson admitted that he had originally found it when he cleaned out a veteran's home, found the grenade, thought it was cool, quote unquote, and decided to keep it. When asked whether it was real or a prop, he simply said, "I don't know."
Oh, my God. So... Okay,
I don't know.
I can kind of sympathize with this guy because it is cool to find something like that, but you gotta
research, like, is that real or
you
not?
You can't just drive around with a potential explosive device in your car.
And I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it.
So you gotta backtrace it. You gotta backtrace it. You gotta find out whether or not that's real or fake.
This is what I want to know. So he finds this grenade in this veteran's house, which I don't buy his story because I just don't, because he's from Florida.
Okay. So right there, right off the bat.
Right off the bat, I don't trust him. But then he finds this grenade. He's like, huh, this is cool. Just toss it in the back seat and just leaves it there.
Yeah, he'll be fine in the back seat.
And it's just like every time he gets out of the car, I keep forgetting to take my grenade out with me.
I keep forgetting I got to research this.
You know how that happens. You have something in your back seat or your trunk, you park, you get out, and you're like, you're already in the house, and later you're like, I forgot to get that thing out of the car.
Silly me.
He just kept forgetting his grenade.
Yeah.
So he's been driving around. How long has he been driving with an explosive device in his car?
I'd have to imagine probably a long time. I doubt that this was this past weekend that he found a grenade.
Oh, my God. So they found out that it was live. How'd they discover that? I mean, I guess they just knew.
Well, unfortunately, when he could not determine whether or not it was a real grenade or a prop grenade, that prompted the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office to call in the bomb squad. Yeah, you can't take it, you know, you can't take it at face value. You got to take this, you know, that it could be real.
Right, exactly.
Highway troopers on State Road 302 and Highway 100 was closed during the entire time that the bomb squad was deployed. So there you go. He caused traffic. There you go. If you're driving around this area in Florida on Monday,
what?
That's why. This dude with a grenade. That's when the bomb squad bought a portable X-ray device. And that's, and I guess that's how you determine it. That they determined right there from the portable X-ray that it was indeed a live grenade.
Ah!
Yep, there you
nice.
Go. So, yeah, it actually could have exploded on him.
He was just casually driving around.
With a live grenade.
With a live grenade in his vehicle.
Yep. The bomb squad then carefully removed it from the truck and safely detonated at a nearby bomb facility. Okay, I want to learn more. Do we have bomb facilities? Like, is that like a thing states have?
In Pennsylvania?
I'm just curious because it just says... In the police report, grenade was removed and detonated safely at a nearby bomb facility. Do like states have bomb facilities? Can we go and see like a bomb or a grenade safely being detonated?
I opened up a
you better be careful.
Tab.
Yeah, you better. Be
I know
careful.
This is actually one I do need to be. I don't know what incognito mode is going to do. The FBI can still see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want you to get arrested for this. Please, FBI, we're just running a comedy podcast.
Wait, I found bomb threat instructions.
Are you sure that's the right thing? That sounds like you're trying to make a bomb threat.
No, it's from...
Wiki how to make a bomb threat. Step one, threat people with bomb.
No, so this is the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So it's a PA.gov thing. And this is it's a PDF of bomb threat instructions. Oh. This is interesting.
Uh-huh.
What is this? In the event you receive a bomb threat at your work location, it is imperative for your safety and the safety of others that your local law enforcement be contacted immediately. And so they give you this PDF that you can print out and put by your phone.
You're supposed to put it by your phone?
This is important. This is what the questions you ask to you know, report a bomb threat. So here, let me explain. So first, they say, so say you get a call at your work and it's a bomb threat. These are the questions to ask. Where's the bomb right now? When is it going to explode? What does it look like? What kind of bomb is it? Did you place the bomb? Why? What is your address? What is your name? Any names of persons, agencies, or offices? Do not hang up the phone, it says. Get the exact wording of the threat. You got to get, for some reason, the sex of the caller and the race. The length of the call. The age. For some reason.
So this is like a printable how-to?
This is a printable how-to about how to deal with a bomb threat.
I'm kind of a little scared that there's professions where they need to have this printed out next
to
your phone.
This is interesting because now they ask about the caller's voice. And you check off boxes. Calm, angry, rapid, loud, laughter, crying, slur.
Laughter?
I mean, if you're the Joker, yeah.
Yeah, basically a Joker.
Clearing throat, deep breathing.
I've planted bombs throughout Gotham.
Yeah, you can lisp, cracking voice, and then is the voice familiar?
Do you know it? Yeah.
Yeah, do you know? Then background noises, street noises, crockery, voices.
Excuse me. Cooking dinner while I'm making this bomb threat.
Factory machinery, animal noises, clear, static, local, long distance, booth. What does a booth mean? Like a phone booth?
Yeah, phone booth.
What
yeah,
decade is this from?
Yeah, we haven't had them in 25 years. So if they're calling from a booth, you know it's a threat made 25 years ago.
Then they have the threat language. Is it well-spoken/educated?
Ooh.
Foul?
Educated?
Irrational? Incoherent?
You taped? Bitch, you put me down as irrational. I'm supposed to be educated.
I was about... This is fantastic. This is so weird. And this is recent. This is July 2016, Rich.
That actually does sound like something the Joker would be upset about. Not that he's actually threatening people's lives.
But they put down his voice.
You put down that he's not educated enough. And, like, he kills you because of that. You should have put me as educated!
You should know better, yeah. No, there you go. You can download the bomb threat instructions PDF from Pennsylvania government.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Rabbit hole. I didn't find an answer, though. We don't have a bomb facility.
But apparently, if you get a lot of bomb threats at your work, there you go. Follow that handy-dandy checklist.
It's probably for government employees.
I would hope so. I can't imagine what private sector gets a whole lot of bomb threats.
So, I mean, it's just like working at, like, the local pizza place or, like, Wawa. And they, like, answer the phone. They're like, hello? And they're like, I'm going to blow you up. It's like, oh, man.
Hold on. Let me get the checklist.
Like, hold on, I gotta find this stupid checklist.
Can you hold for like 5 seconds? Like, I gotta get this.
All right, let's see.
Checklist.
Lettuce, tomato, onion. No, wait, that's the wrong checklist.
Oh, God. Look, I'm already working a double. Can you give me a minute here? I gotta find this stupid checklist.
The bomb threat guy's like, all right, just hurry up. I got people to see, places to blow up. Come on. Clock's ticking, literally.
Yeah.
Time is money.
Yep. Anyway, to go back to the story here, I have a picture.
Who is this
Lewis Branson
driving around with a bomb?
And we have the live.
Oh,
grenade
and a picture
too.
Of the grenade. Yeah,
there you go. We got.
Yes, that's what a grenade looks like.
we got the perpetrator here. Kind of looks like a weird.
That man looks like someone who did not find that grenade, but purchased that grenade.
He looks like a weird like Gary Busey or something, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love you very much. I'm going to come see you one day, whether you like it or not.
It's great to be alive! Celebrate it!
This man...
Celebrate it! We're going to explode some...
Celebrate, I'm going to blow you up.
We're going to celebrate it with grenades.
It's great to be alive! Celebrate it!
Yeah, there you go.
This man looks... I'm going to describe this for the audio listeners. He looks crazed, right? So he's not, like, looking directly at the camera.
I had a dog named Chili.
He looks like somebody who would name a dog Chili.
Yeah, he looks like Gary Busey naming his dog Chili.
I had a dog named Chili.
So imagine Gary Busey, but very gaunt. His eyes are sunken. His hair is just wild.
Yeah.
Right? Like, kind of, like, puffed out. And, like, he's kind of, like, looking down. His eyes are, like, very dark. It's kind of creepy.
The word fear, F-E-A-R, this stands for false evidence appearing real.
No, this is real evidence.
This is real evidence
that he has a grenade.
This is real evidence over here.
So this is not fear. This is, I don't know what the acronym would be, but it'd be something.
And there are 360 ways to see an elephant. If you put an elephant in the center of a circle and go around that circle 1 degree at a time, you will see that same elephant in 360 different perspectives.
Or a grenade. you can replace elephant with a grenade there. So, yeah, bargain bin Gary Busey there trying to take a live grenade and bomb Florida here.
Lovely.
Okay, so, let me get to the finale of the story here. So, Branson was arrested. He faces charges of driving with an expired license. That's it for now, but the sheriff's office needs to conclude their investigation before they come up with the official final charge for the live grenade. So at least I'm glad they at least clarified that they're still continuing the investigation.
Yeah.
I guess they have to like kind of figure out where exactly he got the grenade from. Does his story hold up that he got it from a veteran's house?
And also they shouldn't, just don't have a grenade.
No, you're Mr. Grenade. You should
as somebody who has a grenade, but mine is clearly not real because it is literally hollow.
Yeah.
Okay? It's heavy, but it's hollow. Like, don't pick up a grenade that like is heavy and solid and is not hollowed out because it could be a live grenade.
But it's cool.
So I do sympathize with it. I mean, it is cool, but it's also not cool, friend.
That's a shame.
That guy, no. No, I don't believe him. I think he bought that grenade. I think he just has a live grenade. I think he was maybe born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Born with it.
Grenade. Maybe he's born with it.
He just looks like somebody who just casually has grenades, Rich.
There
don't you agree?
He definitely looks like an interesting character, either as Gary Busey's weird brother or a weird alter ego of Buckeye Chuck. I don't know. He's running the gauntlet. He's got a lot of our favorite things.
He's like
here.
If Buckeye Chuck and Gary Busey had a baby.
Yeah.
And then they gifted that baby a grenade.
In Florida.
In Florida. That's exactly what
that's
he looks
a,
like.
That's a great present for a Florida baby. Live yeah. grenade. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, Goo. It was a grenade.
Baby's first grenade. Oh,
you always remember that.
Baby's first grenade. And in the scrapbook, they like tape the grenade pin. Aww. And they, you know, write the date and like babies.
Aww.
It was really hard for little Billy to pull the pin, but he got it.
He only has three fingers.
Oh my God.
Oh, poor Billy.
Poor Billy.
So there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Man, Florida, I don't know how you guys are staying alive down there.
I really don't.
You got areas that are just unclaimed, apparently, in the middle of nowhere that probably Buckeye Chuck has been living in the last 4 years.
Stuck in the swamp.
You've
yep.
got guys just driving casually with an explosive device.
No big deal.
And you possibly have Gary Busey's stepbrother somewhere in there as well.
They have a bomb facility.
And you have a bomb facility.
Which I didn't think or know was... I mean, I guess you have to detonate bombs somewhere.
Yeah.
But, like, where?
I don't know. I want to find... Is there one in Pennsylvania? Somebody let me know. I don't
know. Is there a bomb facility?
A bomb detonating facility.
There has to be. I'm afraid to search for it.
Yeah. We don't want to go to jail.
No.
But let us know if you know. Anybody know? I don't know.
I don't know why you would know. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. We do have some interesting listeners. Maybe one of them knows.
Maybe.
Let's quit
digging that hole, Rich.
Yeah, we gotta start climbing out of the hole and start wrapping up this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's been a wild ride. Thank you guys for tuning in on another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media, Hubbubaloo, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I just realized they're going to change the name of Facebook to Meta. We're going to have to say Meta soon.
No.
I hope not. Yeah, because that sounds...
No, I mean, I won't.
That sounds even more stupid.
What is Meta?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, really, what is it?
It's going to be the new Facebook name. I don't know. Meta.
I'm upset about this.
Yeah. But anyway, that's down the line. We don't know what to tell you. But find us on all the social media stuff.
Whatever it's called, whenever it's called that, find us there. In addition to the Meta... You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel where you can get the videos of this podcast, but you can also still get the audio version of the podcast by searching, downloading, and subscribing to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Amazon devices. We're everywhere, so make sure you search for, subscribe, and download the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles. Check that out as well if you want a quick laugh for our promo clips.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you can find me. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let me know. I want to know if there's a bomb detonating facility or something. We should go if there is. I don't know.
We should go.
Yeah, I want to watch a bomb go off safely.
I don't think we're allowed to go there.
Why not?
You can't just roll up and be like, hey, can we watch you guys blow up bombs?
Why not?
They would instantly arrest us.
There's a guy in Florida bringing live grenades. Like, at least we're not that guy.
They would instantly arrest us. You can't just roll up to a facility like that.
All right, well, we'll make an appointment. We'll figure that out, but let us know.
They have timed entry.
Yeah, let us know if that's a thing. If you do, tweet at me, and we'll go from there. But we got to start wrapping this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.